Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study in Psalm 119. The title of today's study is The Authority of God's Word. And we're going to be in verses 41 through 48 of Psalm 119. So let's together read verses 41 to 48 of Psalm 119. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. In this section, the psalmist makes a request for help. We see that in verse 41. He says, "Let thy mercies come also under me." Also, in this section, the psalmist demonstrates the response of faith in verses 42 and 43 and 46. He says, "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." 43, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments." Verse 46, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." In this section, the psalmist experiences the release of truth in verses 44 and 45. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I said that also in this section, the psalmist demonstrates the response of faith, and I meant to read 46 instead of 45. Verse 46 says, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed." In this section, the psalmist makes a resolve of love in verses 47 and 48. He says, "I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up under thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." So we see in this section, the psalmist makes a request for help, demonstrates the response of faith, experiences the release of truth, and makes a resolve of love. Now, the phrase we see in verse 41, "according to thy word," occurs 12 times in Psalm 119, and it refers to the authority of the word of God. Let's compare this to 1 Corinthians with me. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Here we have Paul tells us what the gospel is. The gospel of the grace of God, the gospel that was given to him and that we should declare. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." Now notice, "according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. In other words, he received the gospel. Amen. And it was according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God. So, when we proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God. It's the authority. We have the authority of the Word of God behind it, amen. What better authority is there? We must not do things according to our ways, but according to God's Word. It implies that God's Word is to be experienced. It is powerful, alive, and effectually works in those who believe it. Notice what the Apostle Paul said to the, as he wrote to the believers at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So we see that according to thy word, according to the Scriptures, it also implies that God's word is to be experienced. It's powerful. It's alive. It effectually works to those who believe it. In fact, God's word provides cleansing, according to verse 9 in Psalm 119. It provides reviving, according to verses 25, 107, and 154. It provides strengthening, according to verse 28. It provides salvation, according to verse 41. It provides mercy, according to verse 58. It provides grace, according to verse 65. It provides comfort, according to verse 76. It provides support, according to verse 116. It provides understanding, according to verse 169. And it provides deliverance, according to verse 170. God applies His word to our experience. In this section, verses 41 to 48 of Psalm 119 gives us some things, amen, that the psalmist experienced according to God's word. And in this section of Psalm 119, the 119th Psalm, we see we're going to look at six things or seven things, amen, that the psalmist experienced according to God's word. The first one will be the promise of God's word. The second will be the proclaiming of God's word. The third will be the permanence of God's word. The fourth will be the path of God's word. The fifth, the power of God's word. The sixth, the pleasures of God's word. And then finally, the praise of God's word. So let's begin. The first one we want to look at is the promises of God's Word. Now, going back to Psalm 119 with me, if you will, look in verse 41. He says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." We see mercy there. We have God's promise of mercy. Mercy is what we need. And notice the plural mercies. Let's compare what we've just read to what it says in the book of Lamentations. There, Lamentations with me. Lamentations chapter 3. That's found after the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah also wrote Lamentations. In Lamentations 3, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Notice it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And of course, that's where we get that great hymn of the faith. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Amen. It's of the Lord's mercies. Amen. It's because of the Lord's mercies. He promises his mercy towards us. Amen. That we're not consumed, that we're still alive, that we get up today and we breathe and we walked and we talked and we were able to eat. Amen. Here we see again in verse 41, he says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Now, he wasn't praying to be saved. Here, the salvation in the context means physical salvation. In other words, deliverance. Deliverance from an oppression. Look at in verse 42. See, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. So he's praying to be delivered. Amen. He's praying to be saved, physical salvation. He's praying for deliverance from an oppression. Amen. Look what also in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 19. Philippians chapter 1 with me. In verse number 19, we read, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So Paul is talking here about physical deliverance. He says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Physical deliverance. How? How is he going to be delivered physically? Through the prayers of the saints, amen, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, as a way of illustration, Paul experienced mercy and salvation from the storm according to God's word, amen. Now look at in Acts chapter 27. Remember, Paul was on the boat, the ship going to Rome. He was going to stand trial in Rome. And looking, we see that he and those with him were delivered, amen, because of God's mercies. Acts chapter 27, we see in Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 18, it says, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. So Paul found him with the others on the ship, amen, in the midst of a storm, a tempest. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They kept to lighten, take the weight off of the ship to make it lighter. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Not again salvation in our being saved in a spiritual sense, but physical deliverance. Amen. Their hope was taken away that they should be saved. It was dark, completely dark. They could not see the sun nor the stars for many days. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And Paul told them that they shouldn't have got on the ship and set sail. And they didn't listen to him, and of course they found themselves in this difficulty. He goes on to say, he says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So he says there's not going to be any loss of life. The ship will be destroyed, but not any human life. And he's the reason for that, he says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So he's telling them to be of good cheer. God has told them that there will be no loss of life. Amen. So we see then that Paul experienced God's mercy and salvation from this terrible storm, according to God's Word. Amen. Now, the second thing we see, so the first thing that the psalmist experienced was the promises of God's Word. The second thing we want to see is the proclaiming of God's Word. The proclaiming of God's Word. Now, let's turn back to Psalm 119 and read together verses 42, 43, and 46. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. See, the proclaiming, he experienced the proclaiming of God's words. You know, I'm glad I have the Bible that has the answers, amen. The answers of assurance, the answer to Satan's temptations, the answer for the future. But see, he experienced the proclaiming of God's word, because we see in verse 42, he says, shall I have wherewith to answer? Meaning to proclaim God's word, to give those an answer that reproach him. And then verse 43, he says, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Again, the mouth being where speech comes from. And then verse 46, he says, I will speak of thy testimonies. So praise God that we have the Bible that has all the answers. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Let's look at some verses of scriptures that talk about the answer. First of all, we read in Proverbs 16, chapter 16, verse 1, which reads, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Then we read, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Colossians 4, 6. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. So you and I, too, can experience the proclaiming of God's word, amen, as we're told here to do. Amen. You and I ought, how we ought to answer a person. Amen. Our speech should be seasoned with grace. We should always be ready to give an answer, to proclaim God's word of why we have the hope that lies within us. Amen. During the Dark Ages, one king told a preacher, be silent or I'll have you burned at the stake. The preacher answered, if you do, your majesty, my soul will arrive in heaven, in the palace of the King of Kings, before you return to your throne room. Another medieval king commanded a preacher, I command you to stop preaching, or I will have you thrown in prison. The preacher answered, I was set free by Jesus Christ, and a prison is a palace with him near. All right, said the king, I will confiscate your goods and property. I have my treasures laid up in heaven, the preacher replied. I'll have you exiled. I have no continuing city here anyway. I'll have your head cut off. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. So here's a preacher's cases, illustrations of men that proclaimed God's word as they were reproached by their enemies, amen, who didn't trust in the things of God. In fact, we see a good illustration. King David had an answer when he was reproached by Shimei. Looking in 2 Samuel chapter 16, you know, this man Shimei came out and he cursed David, said all kinds of nasty things about him, amen. And how did David reply? Look at in 2 Samuel 16, verse 11. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which cometh forth of my bowels, bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Amen. What do you trust, my friend, when you're confronted with a question or a problem? Do you trust the Bible? The answer of God's Word is a matter of trusting God's Word, as we've seen in Psalm 119, verse 42. It is like jumping out of a plane and trusting the parachute. The request for God's Word not to be taken from the mouth, we see in verse 43 of Psalm 119. That's what the psalmist asked God, he said, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Amen. What that means is this: let me speak your word. Amen. So it is not nullified by a poor testimony. In fact, notice what Paul said, how Paul lived his life. Looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians with me in chapter 9 and in verse 27. Notice what Paul says here. He says this: but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He lived his life, amen. His talk matched his walk. He lived his life, amen, so that his he lived his life. He didn't want to live a life of a poor testimony, amen, because if he did, that would nullify God's word. People would say to him, you're a hypocrite. Amen. You know, he'd lose his testimony if he didn't live his life for the Lord. In other words, he walked the talk, as we say. But Lot's bad testimony took the word out of his mouth. Remember when he went to go warn his sons-in-laws about the emanating destruction of Sodom over there in Genesis 19? Looking in Genesis 19, how the word was taken out of his mouth because he didn't have a testimony. Amen. Genesis 19, verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They made fun of him because he didn't have a testimony. He didn't live his life for the Lord. Amen. So the words of the Lord were nullified. Amen. So we see then, we're looking at the psalmist's experience, the proclaiming of God's word. We're looking at some things under that second point. It means not intimidated when speaking God's word. That's looking in verse 46 of Psalm 119. And I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Amen. So he requests for God's word not to be taken from his mouth, and he also says that he's going to speak of thy testimonies, God's words, before kings, before people in authority and power, and he's not going to be ashamed. And we too should not be intimidated when speaking God's word. You know, we shouldn't be intimidated by the audience if it's someone of authority and power and so forth and so on, amen. Because the Word of God says, a fair man bringeth a snare, amen. Paul was commissioned, amen, by the Lord himself to speak before kings. Notice with me in Acts chapter 9. First, we have to turn to the book of Acts chapter 9 first. And when you get to Acts chapter 9, let's look at verse 15 together. Acts 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, referring to Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And then, yes, indeed, we see him speaking before a king, testifying of his conversion before a king. Look at in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 in verse 2. He addresses King Agrippa. He says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. So, we need not to be intimidated when speaking God's word before people of authority and power, amen. So far, we've looked at two things that the psalmist experienced according to God's word in Psalm 119 and verses 41 to 48. We've seen the promises of God's word, the proclaiming of God's word. Number three is the permanence of God's word. Let's turn back to Psalm 119 together and look at verse 44, what it says. He says, so shall I keep thy law forever and ever. So he experienced, according to God's word, the permanence of God's word. And for a man to keep God's word forever means that God must preserve them forever. Let's compare this with what the word of God says in the Gospel of John with me in chapter 14 in verse 23. John 14 verse 23. Jesus says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So Jesus promises, one way that we show that we love him is if we keep his words, and then we're promised fellowship, amen, with him and the Father. Praise the Lord for that, amen. So we've seen then three things so far that the psalmist experienced according to God's word here in Psalm 119. The promises of God's word, the proclaiming of God's word, and the permanence of God's word. And we still have four other areas that we want to see how the psalmist, what he experienced according to God's word. We have the fourth thing is the path of God's word in verse 45, the power of God's word in verse 46, the pleasure of God's word in verse 47, and then the praise of God's word in verse 48. But again, our time is fast running out here on the pastor's study. So before I move on to the next point, we'll do that next time. I don't want to have to rush through this.